The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Dr. Tomás Ryan, the Associate Professor at the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin, has been a regular contributor to this programme in recent months. He also writes fascinating pieces for the Business Post, and yesterday did deal with this issue of the localised lockdown, which he suggested it's unlikely to be the last. Tomás, thank you very much for joining us. But what about the arguments that are coming in from many of our listeners that there are populated areas far closer to these meat plants which remain open because they're not in these particular counties, and yet there are parts of the counties which are up to 100 kilometres away?
Well, first I'd say that it's regrettable that we've had to have any kind of lockdowns. I think a lot of this current outbreak was preventable, but here we are. I think it is a success from a public health perspective that we are able to do localized lockdowns, because while they're awful for the people who are suffering them, and I have absolute sympathy for the people who are suffering them in those three counties, it's obviously better than having a lockdown for the whole country. At the same time, it's obvious that we need to be in the future a little bit more thoughtful about what region should be locked down. The reason you start with counties is, of course, that everybody knows what a county is. So when we say we're locking down a county, there can be no confusion over what we mean. But in the future, yes, you're going to have to cut up boundaries in a little bit more of a sensible way, because towns and rural areas are not the same. If there's an outbreak in Cork City, it doesn't really make sense to lock down northwest Cork. And there are cross-county boundaries that should not be separated, such as the Waterford-Kilkenny boundary, for instance. So counties as a unit is not ideal, but it's a starting point.
Where do we go from here? This is something you addressed in your piece in the Business Post yesterday. How do you think we should be addressing the possible emergence of a second wave?
Well, these local lockdowns have been reactive lockdowns, just like our major lockdown in March and April was a global reactive lockdown for the whole country. And reactive lockdowns are just to keep things under control. They're just to keep things from spinning out of control. And we'll see whether or not these local lockdowns were successful at doing so in the next week or so. But taking a step back, we need to kind of think about where do we want to be in 3 months' time and for the next year or more until a widely available vaccine is available to us. And we need to imagine what that's going to be like. And there's a number of possibilities that exist for us. One is we could be doing what we're doing now successfully. And that means living in a socially distanced way, hopefully with schools open, hopefully with pubs open, but low capacity, low economic capacity, socially distanced, and basically managing as we go along, hopefully. The other possibility is we try to do that, but we fail to do that. And failing to do that means surges and lots of local lockdowns and perhaps national lockdowns to prevent our healthcare services from being overwhelmed again, leading into the months to Christmas. But there's another option. The other option is that we make the decision to not copy what New Zealand did, but to go for the same end goal as what has been achieved in New Zealand and Taiwan and Iceland to an extent, and to see can we eliminate the virus from the community in Ireland, which does not mean locking up the island. And then if we do that, which we could achieve in a period of months, then we would be, the prize is that you would have all of our schools, businesses, social venues open to 100%. So a 100% functional domestic economy, social life and education system.
Is it really feasible, though, that we can achieve a New Zealand-style situation, given that New Zealand is thousands of kilometres away from the nearest densely populated landmass of Australia? We are far closer to continental Europe, and we also share a common landmass with the United Kingdom because of our situation with the border on this island.
Absolutely, we don't have the same advantages as New Zealand or Taiwan, but we're still an island and we still have advantages that Great Britain also has. Northern Ireland, I don't see as being a significant impediment anymore, because the Health Committee in Stormont has unanimously supported a zero COVID approach, just as Scotland is pursuing a zero COVID approach, and indeed many of my colleagues in the United Kingdom are advocating for a zero COVID Britain, which may well actually happen, because the reality is it is the best economic outcome for everyone. And I don't think that the lobby groups who are resisting the discussion of zero COVID strategies really realize the economic hardship that we're going to suffer if we go for a suppression strategy or if we have further surges and lockdowns. Now, in terms of how difficult it would be to do it, it's completely achievable in a period of where we are now in 2 to 3 months. And one of the ways of doing it would be to have a green zone strategy. So we've been told previously that a regionalized approach in Ireland was not possible, but now we have a regionalized approach. But we have regionalized red zones. So these are regions that are locked down.
This is Kildare, Offaly and Laois at present.
Exactly. And the other 23 counties are essentially orange or yellow or amber counties. But if we have a green zone strategy, we can open up the country gradually. So say we want to go for elimination, say we want to rid the virus from Ireland. First of all, we need to achieve elimination, and then we have to maintain elimination. Now, achieving elimination can happen in 1 or 2 or 3 months, but we're losing the window as our cases are increasing, of course. We were nearly there in June and July. Now, we have three tools to do this. The ideal situation would be test everyone every 2 weeks. Now, that sounds impractical, but they just tested over 10% of their population in the Faroe Islands in 1 day. If you put the logistical effort in, you can do it. The middle ground strategy is to chase the virus off the island in an organized way, to sort of hunt it out using green zones, as I'm talking about. And the third is the New Zealand strategy, which is a sharp lockdown for 6 weeks or so and just get rid of the virus that way. And in reality, in Ireland, a hybrid approach would work really well. So the way it would work is we would all hunker down for, say, 2 weeks to get things running. And then we would look at the testing levels in every county in Ireland. And any county that has zero community transmission for a two-week period, of which there are currently three that are like that now, Waterford, Carlow, and Roscommon, they should be allowed to open up to 100%, near 100% capacity. Red counties would be counties that would be effectively staying under lockdown, and then orange counties would be behaving like we're all behaving right now. And you would have limited travel between these counties, and this is crucial. And this would allow us to move towards a zero COVID island over a period of a couple of months. And this green zone strategy has been used effectively in countries like China, Italy, and Argentina, and it significantly accelerated how quickly they were to flatten their curve. And then once you attain elimination, once you have zero community transmission, then the challenge is to maintain it.
Okay, one last thing, Dr. Tomás Ryan, and this is prompted by many of the comments coming in from listeners, particularly in Kildare, Offaly and Laois. If you have, within those counties, clusters caused in the meat factories, surely is it not enough to close the meat factories and similar rather than closing places like hotels, which have not had any issues?
The problem is how these clusters have leaked into the community. Once you have COVID-19 symptoms, you have been spreading the virus for at least 48 hours in advance of that. And then your contacts get infected, and then they spread the virus 2 days before they have symptoms, if they even get symptoms. And this is why our test trace isolation infrastructure is so important, and why everything from reporting symptoms to identifying contacts has to happen in 72 hours. Right now, I have huge anxiety about this because I look at the numbers and I just can't see how our test trace system is possibly fast enough to prevent the spread of this virus. So while it did start in these clusters, it surely has leaked into the community, not just in those three counties, but elsewhere. So the next week is going to tell us an awful lot about our management of this situation.
Dr. Tomás Ryan, Associate Professor in the School of Biochemistry and Immunology at Trinity College Dublin. As ever, thank you for being with us here on The Last Word at Today FM.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.